Wednesday, September 10th. The first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. By these you too once conducted yourselves when you lived in that way, but now you must put them all away, anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul considers man's body as made up of sins and sinful inclinations. It is not to bring back Judaism that we practice abstinences and fasts, nor with the same motive as the Jews, but to accomplish the precepts of mortifying the irregular desires of the flesh. In a mortified body, sensuality is more easily subdued. The disobedient, or sons of disobedience, or children of unbelief, are either those who perished in Noah's flood, for St. Peter in his epistle gave them this title, or they are the inhabitants of Canaan, whom Joshua exterminated, for these also are called children of unbelief in the epistle to the Hebrews, and their crimes were the same as those mentioned here. Now that you live in God with Christ Jesus, quit not only the above shameful crimes, but also these sins, anger, fury, malice, slander, obscene language, which, although they excite less horror, will separate you no less from the author of all sanctity. We are created to the image of God inasmuch as our souls are spiritual and immortal, but here we are put in mind to imitate God by sanctity and justice, as God is holy and the fountain of justice. The image or resemblance of our Creator was effaced by sin, but is retraced by Jesus Christ, who forms in us this new man. When we put on the new man by sanctity and grace, God makes no distinction between Jew and Gentile, circumcised and uncircumcised, etc. In the Church of Christ, God makes no exception of persons. All are called to the marriage feast, whether Jews, formerly the most favored people of God, or Greeks, or barbarians, or Scythians. Christ died for all. The Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." Haydock Commentary. St. Matthew mentions 8 Beatitudes, while St. Luke here mentions only 4. But St. Luke only gives an abridgment in this place of the discourse, which St. Matthew gives more at length. We are also to remark that in these 4, the whole 8 are comprised, and that both evangelists place poverty in the first place because it is the first in rank, and, as it were, the parent of the other virtues. For he who hath forsaken earthly possessions deserves heavenly ones. Neither can any man reasonably expect eternal life who is not willing to forsake all in affection, and in effect also, if called upon for the love of Jesus Christ. So says St. Ambrose. Not that everyone under great poverty is happy, but that the man who prefers the poverty of Christ to the riches of the world ought certainly to be esteemed such. Many indeed are poor in worldly substance, but are avaricious in their affections. To such as these, poverty is no advantage. Nothing that is against the will merits reward. Therefore, all virtue is known by the will. Blessed, therefore, are the poor who bear poverty for the sake of Christ. He himself hath already trodden the path before us, and taught us by his example that it leads to honor and enjoyment. So says St. Cyril. Jesus Christ, having declared how meritorious poverty of spirit was to eternal life, proceeds to denounce heavy chastisements upon the rich and proud. Although in great riches there are great inducements to sin, yet there are not wanting even in that state great incitements to virtue. Neither is this woe aimed at those who abound in affluence, but against those who abuse that affluence which Providence has bestowed upon them. As before he promised blessings to those that hunger, that weep, and that are outcasts for Christ's sake, so here he denounces curses to such as are filled, that laugh, and are praised, that is, to such as so far seek their beatitude in present enjoyment as to become indifferent with regard to the good things of the next world. Woe to you when men shall bless you! The ministers of the gospel must not value themselves when they are applauded by men, for so did the forefathers of the Jews formerly commend the false prophets when they flattered the people and spoke things that were pleasing to them.